Well, I don't know about you, but I'm given a lot of comfort this morning knowing that the disciples didn't completely understand this parable either. So as I looked into the word and as I did some research, I hope that my findings uphold your heart and give you hope for a future. Now you see, Jesus used many analogies to planting and growing to get his message across to the people. And we find ourselves with another parable about seeds and growing. Last Sunday, the parable was about the type of soil where the seeds are scattered and their potential for growth. And this Sunday, we find ourselves with a parable about good seeds and bad seeds. And the question, do we pull out the weeds or do we let them be? Now, our natural inclination, like the slaves in the parable, may be, let's pull those weeds out. Let's get rid of the weeds in our lives, those weeds that impede our growth. We may look at times at what someone else is doing and think to ourselves that their behavior may have come from a bad seed, and we want them removed from our lives. But here, Jesus tells us in the parable that the weeds should be left for God's angels at the end of the age. Jesus is telling us, don't focus on the weeds. Don't try to pull out the weeds, for in doing so, you may uproot the good plant. Jesus is telling us, focus on the good plant. Focus on the kingdom of God, and focus on the fact that you are a child of the King. Focus on the fact that you are a good seed. And we come to see that the focus of this parable is on the good seed that provides and produces the good plant. And in Jesus's time, the important life-sustaining good plant that Jesus was talking about was wheat. A little history about wheat, which might help us to understand this parable and apply it to our lives. Wheat is one of the world's most important food crops. It's believed that wheat relatives first grew in the Middle East. Wheat was one of the first plants to be cultivated. Enormous changes in people's lives occurred because of wheat. People began growing their own food and no longer needed to wander in search of food. Permanent settlements were established because wheat provided people with a stable food supply. And soon, people grew enough wheat to feed people from other lands. And once there was extra wheat available, trade between various cultures emerged. By 4000 BC, wheat farming had spread to Asia, Europe, and North Africa. New species of wheat developed because early farmers probably selected kernels from their best crop and used those for the seeds the following year, thus by producing a better brand of wheat each year. Today, wheat is grown on more land than any other commercial crop, and continues to be an important food source. Its production leads all crops, including rice, maize, and potatoes. And as one of the most agronomically adaptable crops, wheat is capable of growing in a multitude of conditions. It can thrive at sea level as well as in Tibet, which is nearly 4,000 feet above sea level. And it is grown on every continent except Antarctica. And in my research on wheat, I also found out about how and why people grow wheat. Wheat grows best in well-drained soil, good soil. It grows best in full sun, nurtured by the sun, S-O-N. And this fact, wheat is primarily grown to increase organic matter in the soil, to break up the dense subsoil, and wheat is grown to crowd out weeds. In this parable, the good seed that Jesus was talking about is wheat. And we know this because the parable talks about it, but many other times Jesus uses wheat to get his point across. And that was because the people of that time understood wheat. They knew everything about wheat, and they understood the importance of wheat in their lives as a life-giving crop. And they would understand that wheat was a symbol of abundance and a symbol of life. And so, the information that I found on the internet about how wheat grows and how it crowds out the weeds becomes an important message of this parable. Imagine what the wheat seeds scattered into the field could do to the bad seeds that were scattered into the same field. If wheat crowds out weeds, then there is no reason to pull up the weeds. The wheat will crowd out the weeds as the wheat grows. So what does that say about us? About us who were sown by the good sower. You see, Jesus is our sower who has scattered and planted us to crowd out the weeds, to crowd out the evil of this world. Listen to the Merriam-Webster definition of the word sow: to scatter seed upon the earth for growth, to spread abroad, to disperse, to introduce into selected environments, implant, to set something in motion, to begin an enterprise. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus sows, Jesus scatters, Jesus spreads abroad, and Jesus introduces the seed into selected environments. And Jesus sets it all into motion. And Jesus begins an enterprise. Jesus sows the children of the kingdom. Jesus places us in the environments where he wants us. Our environments, those places where we can influence those around us, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our circle of friends, any place we happen to find ourselves. And the good news is that we are the wheat that crowds out the weeds sown by the evil one. Wheat has a purpose. Wheat has a job to do: crowd out the evil of this world. And we do this by making a difference in the world, by feeding the world with the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, by feeding the world with love, justice, and mercy. So I will leave you with these images. Wheat stands tall. weeds creep on the ground. Wheat reaches for the sun. Wheat has roots that go deep into the ground. Wheat is a hardy crop that is not affected by the conditions around it, and that is why it has become a life-giving and life-sustaining crop. And we too, as followers of Jesus, are life-giving and life-sustaining. Amen.